Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. I'm your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work, the book they have written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. And I guess we can say it's quite official now. We've had the passing of the baton and didn't even have a ceremony, because now I can say my new co-host and experienced co-host and producer, Andy Lowe. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Tim. There's a lot of pressure being the co-host on your show.
Absolutely. This is quality stuff, and I expect you to be up to snuff.
The expectations are high, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. But I've been assured you can handle it.
I'm going to do my best not to let you down today. So how are things in the writing world this week?
Busy, 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 and I love it. I love it. I get to sit and write and coach and edit all day long, and I love it.
You know, it's been interesting just riding along the last few weeks on the show. It's kind of like they say when, you know, you never notice a red car until you buy a red car, and then you see them everywhere.
Yeah.
I've never really noticed as many authors as I have since I started co-hosting on your show. And now, every time I turn a corner, I'm meeting somebody who is writing a book or in the process of writing a book.
It's been amazing.
It's been a really neat thing to run into. And to take the insights that I've gained from your show and get feedback from those people about the struggles and challenges that they may be having.
Would you say that again? The insights from...
The insights from your show and from your guests. There have been some really great things.
And
to be able to know and share that information has been powerful.
I appreciate that. And I think you're going to be amazed with the insights you're going to get from our guests today. Because today we're going to look at the power of story to enhance our writing and our business bottom line. You know, we constantly hear the power of story. Whether it's in a job interview, we share a story of how we tackled a challenge at work and resolved it. Perhaps when we meet with potential clients, we tell a story of how our work or our product had a positive impact on the bottom line of other clients. We might be writing an article or a book, and we need to fill it with personal stories. Today's guests have highly successful businesses, and they speak often to challenge others to success, and they both are authors. And stories are key to their presentations. And we're going to begin with Donna Satchel. We always go ladies first, so that tells you that Jim Dawson's got to be a guy, and he's coming on second. But Donna Satchel is a professional speaker, success skills trainer, author, and president of STARR, and that's spelled all caps STARR Consulting and Training. That's an organization dedicated to motivating, training, and helping individuals and businesses achieve greater success. Good morning and welcome, Donna.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here. It's my pleasure.
It's a delight. I was thinking you were referred to me by an earlier guest, Shirley Garrett.
Yes.
And I laughed when she mentioned, I said, I know that lady, she's short and feisty. We happened to meet each other at a book signing event. Mm-hmm. I was the distinct minority that day, was I not?
Yes, you were.
And our tables were across from each other, and we just had a delightful time. And so I'm glad we could get you on the show.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here. Glad to share some insights.
Great. Well, your book, Just Get Serious About Success, is filled with stories. I got a copy of it from you. I read it. I really did. You tell your own experiences. You've got anecdotes that you found or heard. Why so many stories?
I'm a story collector, and I never realized that until probably like the last year or so. I believe that stories reinforce what the concept that I'm trying to explain to someone. It allows it to stay in their mind. And one of the things I've always been told is people remember the stories.
Yes, they do.
And then if they remember the story, then they remember the concept or the principle or the insight behind the story.
Well, how do you identify the stories in your own life that you use, or the stories that you've heard? How do you just, they're in there in your head, you take notes?
What happened was when I decided to go to college, I was in my 30s, and at that point, it was a very definite shift, and I really started understanding what was happening in my life, or I really started paying attention, and at the end of every day, I would think, oh, what did I do well today? Oh, okay, oh, I did that. Oh, I did well in that class, or I did well at work. So I wasn't doing written journaling, but I was doing mental journaling.
Okay.
And because of that, the story stayed in the forefront of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all have stories.
Oh, we all do, yeah.
But for many of us, the stories are in the back of our mind. It's hard to recess them. For me, I remember so many stories, how I got promoted after I went to college, what that was like. And then I also think back as to how something happened.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, you see the other stories that lead to the big story.
Okay. When you're writing, or even when you're just preparing to do a presentation,
mm-hmm.
what's the process you use to bring those from back here to up front, okay?
I start with everything I talk about is based on something I have experienced. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I come up with the concept, let's say the concept is respecting people, I already know what the story is because I start building my concepts based on the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually more than one story. It's usually two or three different stories that will fit into that concept. So I don't start with just the blank concept. In everything I do in terms of speaking and training, it's like, what do I want to share? I want to share a personal insight. So that personal insight is going to come from an experience.
Okay.
So I'm not thinking, I'm not sharing an insight I don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's a matter of what is the right story I'm going to use. Because one story can represent many different insights or principles.
When you're telling that story, you go right into it. You're not like what we would call the omniscient observer reporting. You tell it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get yourself to that point?
I normally will start with the principle, if I'm talking,
mm-hmm.
and then I will either say, that reminds me of, so that kind of puts me into that place, or for example, or sometimes you just go into it. You just start talking about it.
Okay.
And maybe I might even start with the story first and then pull the principle into it.
All right. All right.
Well, that's a good point. And we've heard this theme before. This is very familiar and seems to be a struggle for writers.
Yes.
They tend to say, I've got an idea or a topic that I want to relate. How do I anecdotally tell that, or what story can I go find that relates that? But what I hear from you and from many authors, if I'm hearing this right, mm-hmm. is the story's already there.
Right.
Tell the story and then derive the point from that. How would you advise an author out there who has a story to tell to just let the story be the story and not try to create a topic and build a story around it?
To look at the story as fascinating. And I think that's where we end up really getting the nuggets from the story. Because you can take an everyday experience, something very simple. You went to the market, you met someone, and they made your day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you go back into that and you go, okay, what happened? What was the emotion? What did they say? And you look at that small story as something fascinating. And when you look at it as something fascinating, you see the pieces that make up that story.
Absolutely.
That is good.
And Andy's correct. I've had this pretty much as a theme throughout February, now into March, because of what he raised. I've had several clients over the past year who have assured me that they're telling me their story and they're putting it all out there in black and white, and it's just not there. Somewhere between the head and the hand, it disappeared. And so that's why I had Shirley Garrett on a few weeks ago, and I have the two of you on today, because you guys are great storytellers. Well, let's go from the abstract into the concrete.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the stories you would like to share from your book, Just Get Serious? Because I told you I'd made notes, and I even sent you some page numbers, and I don't expect you to go, oh, that was that one. But what are some stories that you have shared in your book to help tell about your life and the challenges people face?
I think one of the stories that stands out, and actually this is a very early story, and it's interesting that I was able to go back and touch it, was believing in yourself. And if you don't believe in yourself, believe in somebody else's belief in you. And the story I talk about is years ago when I was little, I had a stuttering problem. Very, very bad stutterer. And the speech therapist they assigned me to, she thought I could get better. I didn't think so. I thought I was going to be stuttering my entire life. And I remember her giving me different exercises. I'm like, this is ridiculous. This isn't going to work. It isn't going to work. But she was so convinced that it could work, that I could get better. After a while, I started believing in what she was believing in for me.
Well, that's powerful.
Thank you.
So what did she have you do?
It was one of the exercises, which even now today, I don't understand how it would work, because to me it defies logic, was she would record my voice, and then I had to listen to it over and over again. And I remember thinking, even as a child, I'm going to get worse by listening to my voice over and over again. How's that going to make me get better? I don't know how that's going to make me get better. But she kept saying, just go with the exercises, just do them. Now, as a child, I don't remember the other exercises, because what happens now, when something happens, I immediately start seeing it as a story and start paying attention. At that point, I was 7 years old, so it's just happening. I'm surprised that I remember it, but I distinctly remember the listening to myself and thinking, that it's not going to work. Why would that work?
And that's one of the first stories you tell.
Yeah.
Pages 11 and 12.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Well, you know, I should give you a chance to talk about what your business is. Just get serious about success. That's your book, but that's kind of the theme for your business as well, isn't it?
Yes. It's actually the trademark. It's a registered trademark for my business. Came up with it probably about 4 years ago. And everything I do is based on that theme. My training programs, Just Get Serious About Service, customer service. Just Get Serious About Teamwork. The book, Just Get Serious About Success. Because my way of thinking, in order to become successful in something, you have to be serious.
Oh, absolutely.
And the very last chapter of the book, I talk about what I perceive as the five levels of seriousness. So how do you go from being not serious to being slightly serious, to being sometimes serious, to being solidly serious, to being seriously serious. How do you go through these levels?
Oh, folks, I wish you could have watched her face when she went through that, because she went from lighthearted to, oh, my God, I don't want to be in her way. You believe passionately about what you do, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love speaking, training, motivating, coaching. I absolutely love it.
All this from a woman who, about 10 years ago at the age of 7, stuttered, right?
Yes, thank you for that compliment.
Yeah.
Well, Donna, do us a favor real quick. Define what you mean by getting serious. I mean, when I think serious, I think not fun. And when we were talking before the show, you actually said you could have serious fun. So,
oh, yeah.
So tell us what you really mean by serious.
And we're not talking about bar hopping there, right?
Well, I don't know. I guess it depends on what your definition of serious fun is. I don't know.
Serious starts with knowing your goals and dreams, what you want to achieve, and then understanding the hard work it's going to take to achieve that, whatever it is. And being serious is stepping outside of your comfort zone, moving beyond your fears and your concerns, putting aside what people say about you or your goals and dreams, and doing the work that you need to do. That's what being serious is. Now, you could use seriousness to be a comedian. Now, comedians are funny, but that's serious work to be a comedian.
Oh, it's very hard work, yes.
Anything we look at where someone's achieving amazing success, or the success they consider amazing, and that's all individualized, it's going to take work. And so often we hear people say, you know, he's not serious. Well, how do you know he's not serious? And then in the book, I talk about how you can identify your own level of seriousness and what are some of the components that it's going to take to be successful that we don't even think about.
Absolutely. Why did you write a book?
I wrote a book because whenever I do a keynote, whenever mm-hmm. I do a training program, whether it's 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, whatever, I can never share everything I want to share.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had all these concepts, ideas. I was always paying attention to what was happening to me. And from those, I drew insights, ideas, things that I do every day or things that I stay foremost in my mind. And I wanted to share them with people, but I couldn't do it in any way that I could do it on an ongoing basis.
Mm-hmm.
So a book allows you to share everything you want in one place where people can read it.
And what's the impact been on your business because you wrote it?
The impact has been good. People are starting to, and the other reason I wrote it was to also make awareness for the trademark.
Okay.
Just Get Serious.
Sure.
So now people are really starting to identify me with this, oh, she's the Just Get Serious girl.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is. So, and even if I'm at a meeting and someone knows that my trademark's Just Get Serious, someone else might be speaking and they just happen to say, yeah, we need to get serious. People look at me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, she's the serious one.
And the irony in that, as I think about it, it kind of reflects what Andy asked you. You are anything but serious in appearance. You know, serious means glowering, you know. Nah, that's not you.
No. Well, serious, what I want people to perceive it, it's a mindset as to how you think of your goals and dreams
mm-hmm.
and the amount of time, energy, money you're going to put into whatever mm-hmm. it is. And you can still be walking around laughing, having a great time, but your mindset is very, very definite as to what you want to accomplish.
And what was your biggest struggle in writing?
The biggest struggle in writing was keeping the story short enough and keeping the book. The book was a lot longer than I intended it to be,
mm-hmm.
and it would have even been longer because I had more stories and more concepts, but was keeping it short enough
uh-huh.
so that it was interesting. And then I guess the next challenge was I actually did surveys. I sent out chapters to what I consider my chapter readers.
Sure.
Getting all that information back because I had hundreds of surveys.
And that's a great, great process to go through. It's sometimes referred to as peer review. Put it mm-hmm. out there, see what people have to say. When I did that with my writing book, I got some fascinating feedback that helped me to change the book and make it stronger. I imagine you had the same.
Oh, yes, definitely. In fact, there was one story I always told exactly the same way for years. People loved the story. They loved the concept. When I sent it out in one of the chapters, the person who read it came back and said, "Love the story, but you don't tell me how to develop that type of relationship."
Ah.
And I'm thinking, but I've been telling that story for years. No one ever asked me that. And that forced me to sit down and go back to understand how that type of business relationship, I was able to form it, and how other people could form that relationship. So the peer review, and I picked people who some of them I didn't know,
uh-huh.
or I knew very little about them. So I wanted honest feedback.
Great. Great. Well, how do people get in touch with you? They want to get you to speak. They want to buy your book, whatever. What's the best way for them to do that?
They can reach me. My email address is Donna, D-O-N-N-A, at Jess, J-U-S-T, JessGetSerious.com. Website is www.JessGetSerious.com. And the website for the book is JessGetSeriousBook.com.
You use that trademark.
Oh,
right?
I do.
That's
I
great.
Definitely do.
Now, you're willing to sit around while I interview Jim, and then you guys can talk, maybe?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I appreciate that. Well, Jim,
thank you.
Jim Dawson is a nationally recognized award-winning expert in the area of human functioning in the workplace. I like that phraseology. Jim's company is ADI Marketing. He is also a member of the Southern Order of Storytelling, I discovered. I need to ask you about that. As a presenter and speaker, Jim has addressed and impacted thousands of people and achieved impressive results for his clients. Well, welcome, Jim.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you here today. This is not the first question I wrote down for myself to ask, but I need to ask. Tell me about the Southern Order of Storytelling.
Well, it's a great group. And it also has clusters. And in fact, right here in Roswell, there's a local cluster that people who want to come and tell their stories has a forum to actually experiment either on stories, personal stories, mm-hmm. or stories they're developing. There's a lot of teachers and librarians, but people with a lot of life experience. You just learn so much about the community and what's going on.
That's something I think I need to go experience.
Yeah, it would be. And we just had our winter festival. So we have two festivals during the year, which are local, and then the big festival in Jonesboro, Tennessee. Okay. That's where the national group is.
All right. Well, you can imagine I'm going to ask you pretty much the same thing I did Donna, because I think there's so much value in that. Your presentations are filled with stories. I've got your little booklet here, and people who have people who have read it have told me, if you want a guy that tells stories, good ones, mm-hmm. you're the man. So, from your own experiences and anecdotes, why so many stories?
Well, it started out a number of years ago. I have a learning disability, and I used to keep it covered up all the time. And I was given a keynote address, and I talked about it briefly, that I had a learning disability. And about 5 years later, someone came over to me and said, I wanted to thank you. And I said, thank me for what? And he said, I want to thank you for what you did to my son, because he was in the audience, and when he heard what you had to go through, his grades have improved, and he never looked back.
Oh, my. That's powerful.
So I find out that when you share some of the things that you have to share and it's meaningful to other people, you don't know what it's going to do.
Wow. I got to tell you, Jim, your book title is 101 Prospecting Nuggets. And as you just shared that with me, word nugget popped into my mind, because I have a client that I think is listening live, and if not, she'll be listening later this afternoon. She needed that nugget, exactly how you phrased it. The impact you can have if you just share that story. And I know that she has some stories that are going to be great to share. How do you identify the stories in your own life that you want to talk?
It depends on the situation. I do a lot of training in corporations.
Mm-hmm.
However, just because you're inside of a business does not make you a different person. So my whole purpose is to share what has worked for me and what has not worked for me, and how I recovered from what hasn't worked for me. So what we're looking at in life's challenges and businesses, and my own businesses today, you have ups and downs. Now, you can choose to stay down and nothing gets accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can choose and say, you know, what can I do here? Or what have I learned in my past to handle that? I have an undying belief in the human potential. In other words, when someone comes to work for my organization, my social responsibility is to teach them that they could actually get a better job when they leave, if they so choose to leave.
Is that right?
That's right.
How do you get that across?
With great difficulty at times. With great difficulty.
Yeah, so speaking of that, I asked you before when we were doing mic checks, I said, give me your most infinite form of wisdom in the mic check. And you had something really good to say. Can you recant that for us?
Yeah, it's a quote from Ogmandingo, and he says, failure will never overtake me if my determination to succeed is strong enough. And I've been fighting most of my life to move ahead. For example, I told you about my learning disability.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved to Vermont, got a job with the University of Vermont, and they guaranteed me a free education. What they didn't tell me is I had to read or write right. So since I'm working for them, I'm able to go to school, and I'm getting these letters like on my son on how bad I'm doing, and I mean bad. So I got tested and found out that I have an equivalency ability to read or write at a fifth grade level.
Wow.
So I was moved through school. And those are whole other stories there that I use sometimes, because mm-hmm. some are really heart-wrenching. In fact, some people have said, you shouldn't tell that. It makes me cry too much. So when I learned that, I said, okay, I have a choice. I have a choice to either wind up with a college degree or not wind up with a college degree. And I had a really good friend. His name was Dean. And he said, when I was struggling, he said, Jim, why are you embarrassing yourself? Why don't you just quit?
Wow.
And I said, you know, that's a good point, but I'd rather have it than not have it. So I had a 10-year plan on how to get my degree. I did it in 8. Mm-hmm. So I packed 4 years of education into 8 years, just jammed it right in there. and came out with a running computer centers, came out with a degree in wildlife biology, a Bachelor of Science in wildlife biology while I was in the data world.
And that's a serious degree.
That is
a serious degree. That's not one of your easy kinds of things.
Right under pre-med.
Wow. Oh. How did you feel when you finished then?
Well, it was interesting because with my background, I didn't want to go to the graduation because I had a terrible, in school. I thought for my first 18 years, my first name was stupid. So when I got my degree from the registrar's office and I went home and I laid on my bed and I looked at that and I looked at it and I looked at it and I looked at it for a very long time. So it was an accomplishment, but it was well planned. Donna talks about goals.
Mm-hmm.
I had goals. Not all goals are overnight.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It takes persistence. It takes resilience. You have to keep and focus to keep on coming back.
Well, that's such a great point. We've heard that theme on some other shows as well, and maybe you can just comment on that for a minute. I had this conversation yesterday with a client actually talking about goals, and too often goals turn into a to-do list. But goals really are more about success habits, consistency over time. Mm-hmm. How do you relate that to people?
You have to really decide what you want. I have my own type of goal sheet because what I have is an area of focus. You know, where do I want to focus? What specific area do I want to focus in? What am I willing to do to get to where I want to go? Who do I have to know? What do I have to learn? What kind of money do I need to make it happen? What kind of time do I need, which is very precious? And why do I really want to accomplish it to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, just as an example, I married my high school sweetheart. We celebrated our 44th anniversary. We had a goal to stay together. And it hasn't always been easy.
Mm-hmm.
But the overarching goal says, I'd rather be 70, and I'm not yet, 70 with her than without her.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, tell us a little bit about your business, ADI Marketing.
ADI Marketing is a premier business-to-business organization that gets other people in front of the decision makers they want to talk to. So what we actually do is set the appointments so people can go in, and we have built a relationship. They're in a comfortable situation, so then they can actually sell their product or service.
How did you come up with that? That's such an amazing... You're like, you bust the doors of the gatekeepers.
That is correct.
Oh, I love that.
Well, it wasn't my idea.
Okay.
What happened is that I met someone who was their idea, and I funded it. And it was written that how much money I put in, I would get more and more of the business. And one day we sat down, and I said, hey, this wasn't meant to be, but I'm 100% owner of the business. I would prefer that you earn some of this back. However, this person could not stay focused.
Ah.
So it kept on deviating from the plan. So it just didn't work out. And then I turned to my business partner, who was also my daughter, and said, let's see if we can make some money at it.
And you were right.
I was right. 20 years later.
That's got to be just a wonderful feeling.
It is.
What advice would you give to people who are writing to be able to tap into their stories? We've heard Donna's reflection. What do you do to identify those stories, tap in, and tell them?
It's interesting that you have to look back at life experiences and be honest with yourself.
Okay.
Now, with any story, we're going to embellish in some form or fashion.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm going to come out to be a hero or a villain, and mm-hmm. it's going to be on an extreme. So we're going to embellish it. It's the point of the story that's so important. You want to be true to the theme, but you don't have to be true to every detail. And I think there's a difference from somebody who writes and somebody who speaks. I still have problems writing.
Okay.
All right. So if I get a microphone and I can record what I do, I'm far more effective than sitting down and trying to write it.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on what your modality is. Because I would love to write effectively. I don't even send out an important email without somebody reviewing it because of my syntax is still very bad.
Mm-hmm. But what you lift up, Jim, is something that I think people need to be aware of. You can record, then get your recordings transcribed, and then either work through them yourself or give them to someone like me to work on them and turn them into a book. And I think they're just fascinating possibilities for that out there.
Right. I have a number of articles that were published, and they were all done with the ghostwriter.
That's great. That's great. And you're comfortable with that because a ghostwriter who is good gets into your head and knows your voice and all of that.
Voice is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
Is it I who am speaking or someone else who is speaking?
Yeah.
And when I read a book and I've seen someone in person or on a TV special and then I'm reading their book, I want to hear their voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what I want to hear.
And that's critical too. Mm-hmm. Now, I gave Donna the opportunity to tell a story and she talked about her stuttering. Mm-hmm. You've kind of shared through the Vermont experience in your college, but what's another one that pops into your mind that you value telling people?
In a lot of the leadership classes I do, I share a story about thinking that you're doing everything right.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I was told by upper management how good I was, and I made sure that my projects were done, and they were on time, and they were complicated, and I was stuck in where I was. And what I found out when I went to an executive to say, would you mind mentoring me because I'm not sure what the problem is? And she also said, I don't know what the problem is because anything I've asked you to do was great. Well, she actually worked with me over a period of months. She interviewed other people who knew me. She came back. We sat across her desk and she said, Jim, you upset the balance of nature. Okay.
That's big, especially for one who majored in what you majored in.
Right, yeah. All right, tell me more. She says, you're too right. In other words, you dress to the nines. You're always prepared. Anything you put out is really good. No one, anyone who's ever going to have to compete with you would ever put you on a promotional list.
Wow.
Hmm. So what it said is, you know, if you're going to get along in this world, I was naive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a story about being naive, of being the best you can be, being really great, and not taking the politics of the situation in consideration.
That's powerful. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, Jim, people want to be in touch with you. They want ADI marketing, or they want to see your book or engage mm-hmm. you for speaking. How would they go about doing that?
Well, they can do it by email, which is jrdawson@amarketing.com is one. We have a toll-free number, 1-800-234-1550. Or if they would like to, they can actually get on our website, see what we actually have to offer. And that is, there's actually two of them because the one company has two different entities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One is www.amarketing.com and the other one is www.adiperformance.com, and that has all of the training material
okay.
that we do.
You know, that's one thing I do with all of my guests is I go to their websites in preparation for these shows. I learn a lot. Mm-hmm. And that in particular I did with yours. Well, I always tell my guests that they can either put me into the longest 30 seconds of my entire life every week, or they can help me here. And this is where we, so to speak, open up the mics and invite each of them to ask questions of the other. You each have been making lots of notes. I hope there's a question there. Floor is yours.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. Very much interested in, I believe you said it was the Order of Storytellers?
Southern Order of Storytellers.
Storytellers. Wanted to find out more about that. How does that differ from Toastmasters? I know how it differs from NSA, but what do they do?
Their whole focus is on storytelling. Mm-hmm. So they have cluster groups that meet. Now, Toastmasters have clubs and you have Kiwanis clubs. So it's a cluster group and the people actually get there and the whole purpose is for people just to tell stories. Some will have some feedback. Some will have no feedback at all. So you get to really experience stories and you hear some very good stories which then help you make better stories.
Okay. So do they give you instructions as to how to tell a story or feedback?
Yeah. Actually, what happens is you could get that. Also, at the conferences that they do have, there's a lot more of that.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. works with that.
Okay, great. Right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Where would I find out information?
You can go to the Southern Order of Storytellers website.
Okay.
And that's all spelled out, southernorderofstorytellers.org, and that will come up. There's a group. locally in a lot of places in Atlanta and different states. So just look it up and they'll have those places for you. Great.
Okay, thank you.
Great. I'm kind of thinking you guys ought to get together and tag team something, though. I'm listening to this get focused and get serious, and it just sounds like it's like a hand-in-hand thing. And good grief, between all the stories you guys both have, I bet you guys could do something pretty impressive together.
We could.
Yeah, we could.
Not that I'm matchmaking over here. But yeah.
Well, actually, when there's two people on stage, there's another dynamic, and it works very, very well if the two people allow each other to work. I did a gender workshop for a couple of years, which was very interesting because you got two different perspectives on how they look. Mm-hmm. So, Donna, why do you choose to use stories rather than just factual cases?
Great, great question. I believe that, for me, everything starts with the story. Mm-hmm. So when I'm writing about a concept, I don't start with, okay, these are the concepts of teamwork, or these are the concepts of success. I'm starting with what I know. So it's easy to start with the story, because I'm going to then go into, this is how I know this. This isn't just something I read in a book or something that I haven't experienced. I have experienced it. And I think we all have wealth of experiences. Just some of us are able to tap into that a little bit easier than mm-hmm. others. But we all have the stories. We all have the principles. We all move through life a very certain way because of what has happened to us. Many of us just haven't identified what those experiences are.
Yeah, and I relate to the power of storytelling because, you know, the years I spent in ministry and preaching, make a point, tell a story. Mm-hmm. Make a point, tell another, tell mm-hmm. another story.
Well, I like stories because they drive emotion. You know, when I just hear facts, it's just kind of, I don't know, it's dead, it's boring. Mm-hmm. But when somebody tells a story, it moves me emotionally, and I tend to remember those moments and connect to them.
There's mm-hmm. two yeah. points there. One is that if you're trying to change someone's mind, you have to hit them emotionally. Mm-hmm. You can't just do it analytically. And the other reason, which you talked about stories before, Donna, if you're talking about a story, you're creating an image in someone's mind. We think in images, we talk in words. So if I can create an image, and especially in my marketing business, our whole idea is to create an image in someone's mind so they can shake it. We represent our clients as well or not better than themselves because we practice and practice to get that discussion correct. So, Donna, would you believe in the imagery versus the words?
Oh, definitely. It's the imagery and it's the emotion. I believe it was... I'm trying to think of who said this, and it will come to me at the end. People may forget what you said. People may forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel.
Wow.
They'll never forget that feeling from that story. Mm-hmm. And that's Maya Angelou. That is that quote. That's who that's from.
Well, as I've interviewed you and listened to you this morning, my mind is just reeling with stories, with memories of things that I used to do, and I want to go back and look at the sources and polish those stories up. I get energized doing this show, and you guys are energizing me more than ever before. This is exciting. Any other questions for each other?
Well, Jim, I have a question for you. One of the things, and I'm quite sure we might be similar in this, that we have all these stories. How do you not overuse stories in your presentation, where it's not just story, 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 concept, story, story? How do you know the right balance? Because we have some people in our audiences who are more analytical, and we have some people who are more that emotional. How do you find that balance?
The story has to have a point.
Okay.
That's number one. Two is that if I'm in a training situation, I am not necessarily the speaker. I am there for a limited amount of time to make a point, and then they need to do the work. Mm-hmm. So I'm facilitating the activity. The story is to get them some groundwork on where does it fit in and how does it work, whether it was good or whether it was bad, to move forward, to open their minds up for their stories to come out and how they can do things differently in the future versus what they've done in the past.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's good. It's a good point that the story is not the story by itself, but the point of the story.
And again, I'm not here to hear myself speak. I'm here to provoke thought.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And once I get in there that I'm hearing myself speak, there's no thought being provoked.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
I just feel compelled to share a story with you folks. One of the things that comes to my mind, I lived in Ghana, West Africa for 3 years, and I was principal of a seminary. And in that capacity, I was always invited, unfortunately, fortunately, to the funerals of pastors, teachers, people, prominent people who died. And I found that when I would go to those and there would be the meal afterwards, I would always notice the men gathered off to the side. It was very clear that it was the men, not the women, but the men. And I finally asked one of my colleagues, Papa Entre, who was seen as the grandfather of the seminary, I said, "What's going on over there?" And he said, "Oh, we're just going to the eights," as in E-I-G-H-T-S, going to the eights. And I said, "Okay, how does one do that?" And he said, "It came out of the slave era back in the 1700s when rival tribes would capture and put their people into slavery and then would ultimately sell them to the Europeans and slavery in another country. So what would happen at the time of death, the men would gather and someone would say, 'We all knew this person. Well, I knew his father, and his father's name was. Well, I knew his grandfather, and his grandfather's name was.' And someone else would go on and say, 'My dad knew his father,' which would be the great-great-grandfather. And they would go back until they could get to the great-great-great on both sides. That was going to the eights, and if they could do that, that indicated that the family had not been touched by slavery, and that was a symbol of honor. But that continued down through the ages, because what it did for them was to give the family sustenance in terms of, this is who we have been throughout history, and this is what we are known for." And I just love that image. Wow. I love that image.
That's a powerful story.
Well, you know, I've done it. You've done it. The clock is on us. Mm-hmm. We always welcome your comments and suggestions about the content and about our guests. And if you would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Just send me an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Andy, my new co-host, for handling the controls, asking some powerful questions.
This was fun today.
Yeah, well, good. And I thank our guests, Donna Satchel and Jim Dawson. Donna, your contact information again.
Okay, thank you. Donna at justgetserious.com. Phone number 770-498-0400. Website, JessGetSerious.com, website for the book, JessGetSeriousBook.com. And thank you for having me as a guest.
Oh, it's
been
a delight.
Great. And Jim, wonderful talking with you, Jim.
Thank you, Donna.
Jim, your contact information.
My contact information is jrdawson@amarketing.com. Phone number is 1-800-234-1550. And
great.
Thank you, Tim, for having us.
Sure. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. Learn more about Right Choice Services at www.rite.com. I hope you will join us next week and tell your friends about the show. I always encourage you to send an email to them to invite them to listen live or to our downloads. Right Here, Right Now broadcasts live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time at Right, again, that's W-R-I-T-E, Here, Right Now, .businessradiox.com, and the MP3 version is available later today. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business right here, right now.